Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, June 13th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. ZANU-PF candidates, won in Zimbabwe's just-ended parliamentary by-elections, say they are ready to fulfill their election promises.
Ooh, I'm very happy and I have started working with the people. I have people who I had promised to work with, especially youth from arts and culture centers.
Some Zimbabweans without proper immigration documents in various countries resort to having marriages of convenience in order to avoid being deported.
It's a common thing in South Africa, and as one of the questions that the Minister of Home Affairs, the Honorable Kikaba, was addressing, to say someone gets into South Africa within a week, he is married.
And Tennis Zimbabwe hosts a three-week tournament featuring local and international players. Stay tuned for more details. ZANU-PF candidates won in Zimbabwe's 16 constituencies contested in the just-ended parliamentary by-elections say they are still celebrating their victory and are ready to deliver what they promised to the electorate. The MDCT, which boycotted the elections, has dismissed the ZANU-PF victory, citing a low voter turnout, while some independent candidates, such as Themba Mleswa, who lost the Urunga West election, blame ZANU-PF for intimidating voters. Maide Impala, who is the new Member of Parliament for Lopengula constituency in Bulawayo, tells Studio 7 Stanekile Mhlanga she is very excited about the win.
I'm very happy and I have started working with the people. I have people who I had promised to work with, especially youth from arts and culture centers in my community, even if they are old centers. They are really happy and we are now planning for the future for their youth centers. And again, my colleagues are very happy. I know how to work and cooperate and network with everyone in the community, even outside of my community. So they are very happy because they know that they are going to have more information in the community and the community is going to develop. Because I always talk about development and I know how to develop my community.
We also understand there is a celebratory mood in Bulawayo. What exactly is happening?
Everyone was happy, you know, they were in a jovial mood. Then I had to celebrate with them, with the residents especially. They came, they didn't mind that they were not ZANU-PF. We joined together and we were happy. And they were saying this is a residential election. It's not a party election now, it's a residential, because we know that as ZANU-PF, you are going to develop our community and we are going to get jobs and we are happy. So everyone was happy.
But some people are saying you and your colleagues, you won with a very low voter turnout.
I know it was during the week and people were not there, especially people who go here and there looking for jobs and working, so they didn't have time to come and vote.
That was Maide Impala, who is the new Member of Parliament for Lopengula constituency in Bulawayo, speaking to Studio 7, Stanekile Mhlanga. Some Zimbabweans without proper immigration documents in various countries have resorted to getting hooked into marriages of convenience in order to avoid being deported. This has been happening over the years, and according to some representatives of Zimbabweans in Britain, South Africa and other countries, marriages of convenience are very common. For perspective, we reached Ephraim Tapa, founding member of Restoration of Human Rights Zimbabwe, and Ngabuto Mabena, chairman of an organization, Zimbabweans Living in South Africa. Mabena says South Africa has questioned some of these marriages.
Well, it's a common thing in South Africa, and as one of the questions that the Minister of Home Affairs, the Honorable Kikaba, was addressing, to say someone gets into South Africa within a week, he is married. But what we have seen under this new immigration, the easiest legal document that you can get, or a permit, what they call a partner's or sponsored permit, if you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend that either has a permanent residence permit or is South African, that person can apply for that partner's permit through VFS and they be granted that permit. But of course, we have people that are couples, and all of them, they don't have permits, so it can't then try to prove at Home Affairs that you have a partner, while you are also married to another person. It creates problems. But for single people, it is one of the easiest ways to legalize your stay in South Africa.
Now, let's talk about this, Mr. Taba, the marriages of convenience. Are they not scary to people who are seeking papers there?
It's a tricky situation. We have seen it either way. You know, Zimbabwean women with papers being taken advantage of, say, by other men from other nationalities, from Ghanaian, Nigerians, and that kind of stuff. We have also seen Zimbabwean men here and women getting hooked up with white partners, some of who would be far, 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 far older than them, and that kind of, there is all those discrepancies and that kind of stuff. But the thing is, as soon as someone gets what they want, usually that marriage crumbles. Mm. That's the challenge. And in some cases, as soon as the other party realizes that, this person is using me to get papers and that kind of stuff, they may decide to just call it quick, and that leaves that other party in a limbo. So these things are risky, they are tricky, and it's not that straightforward.
And sometimes, Mr. Mapena, this is done in a very criminal way, right? It's just for the sake of the papers.
Yeah, no, it's for the papers, and some are truthful. They pay these people to say, let's go to Home Affairs, we pretend we're a couple, I'm going to pay you this X amount. If a person agrees to receive that money, it happens. We've seen it happening over the years, and it will continue happening. The other thing, though, in terms of the other payments, it is becoming really, really difficult, because even the asylum documents are now being scrapped on the basis that there's no more conflict in Zimbabwe. Mm. As my brother alluded earlier on to saying, the 2013 election, in terms of the reports of the African Union and the other African observer missions, they declared those elections legitimate. So therefore, it means that in South Africa is beginning to say, look, we cannot continue issuing Zimbabweans with asylum documents. Of course, when you get to bed bridge, they will issue with a 6 months asylum, which we have seen. But when you try to renew it after 6 months, you are told that your application for an asylum has been turned down and you'll be expected to go back to Zimbabwe. That's the huge challenge that we have.
Mr. Taba?
Yeah, we have got that kind of situation, like my brother is saying, and it's a little bit tricky. What we have also said is that, you know, when you look at the travel guidance by the UK government to their nationals who intend to travel to Zimbabwe, they will be warned that this is a politically volatile region and country, and they don't do this, don't do that, and that kind of stuff. So it's for us now to take that kind of guidance to the Home Office and say, look, on one hand, you are saying this is the situation as it obtains in Zimbabwe today. But on the other hand, you are saying you can go back home, Zimbabwe is safe. So it's something that can be argued in a court of law. So basically, the UK government here is finding it difficult to say, is it black or is it white?
That was Ephraim Tapi, founding member of Restoration of Human Rights Zimbabwe, speaking with Studio 7 from Manchester, Britain. You also heard from Ngabuto Mapena, chairman of an organization, Zimbabwean community living in South Africa, speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. You can follow this and issues relating to accusations that South Africa fueled problems being faced by Zimbabweans today on our Facebook wall and web page. That is www.voazimbabwe.com. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now it's time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We are lucky to have with us on the Women's Forum tonight the Communications Director of the National AIDS Council, Ms. Madeline Dube. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Dube.
Thank you, ma'am.
Ms. Dube, you recently had a visit from UNAIDS. Tell us a little bit about what came out of that visit, especially to do with women and girls.
We had the opportunity of hosting the executive director for UNAIDS, Michelle Sidibe. He is based in Geneva, but he made a deliberate effort to come down to Zimbabwe to appreciate the role and the leadership which Zimbabwe has taken in terms of reducing the prevalence rate from as high as 33% in the late 1980s to as low as 15% during this current period. We had an opportunity to visit Mbare Clinic, where MSF is assisting women who have been raped, women who have been exposed to gender-based violence, to cope or also to have post-exposure prophylaxis, and also counsel them to deal with their situation. For the young girls between the ages 10 and 24, these are the most vulnerable group in our society.
Ms. Dube, why is this age group one of the most vulnerable in our society, especially in Zimbabwe?
It may not be in Zimbabwe. I think it's all over. The magnitude of the problem depends from country to country. In this particular situation, you then see that some of the young girls are either orphans, or they are living with a single parent, or they are in a child-headed family. Therefore, they are exposed to abuse, both for rape and gender-based violence. They need to be protected. It's even difficult for a young girl when they've dropped out of school for them to have an appreciation on health issues. They have an appreciation on issues to do with HIV and AIDS. You will then find that now we are seeing young women who are getting into sex work, which clearly shows that the challenges which we are having in the economy are also impacting negatively on this particular group of women. Therefore, it's important that they are educated, they are taught issues to do with negotiation for sex, and also how to consistently and correctly use condoms all the time.
Talking about commercial sex workers, are there any programs where you are working with this group and trying to educate them on some of these recommendations that came up?
Yes, there are various stakeholders who are implementers in this particular area. One of the UN's family, UNFPA in particular, they have delivered a program to target young girls, to target young mothers, issues to do with family planning, issues to do with maternal health, teaching the sex workers in areas to do with condom use, issues to do with negotiation for sex, and issues to do with them understanding about their bodies.
And for those who would like to access some of these programs that you offer, where can they reach you?
For National AIDS Council, we have structures up to village level. You can approach any district. Each one of us in Zimbabwe, they belong to a certain district. You belong to a certain ward. If it's in the rural areas, you belong to a certain village. So it's important if you really need to be educated or you want to participate in our activities that you approach the district AIDS coordinator. They are normally housed in the local authorities in most districts. However, should they have challenges, they can contact us at head office in Harare. We are at number 100 Central Avenue in the city center. They can also access our contact details through our website, which is www.nac.org.zw. www.nac.org.zw.
Thank you very much, Ms. Madeline Dube, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum.
My pleasure, ma'am.
I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Another civil society activist has received a harsh sentence in Iran. Artist Atena Feragdoni has been sentenced to 12 and a half years in prison for drawings and other content critical of the government, which he posted on Facebook. She was charged with crimes against national security, including propaganda against the state and insulting the Supreme Leader and members of Parliament. Amnesty International called the sentencing a terrible injustice and noted that such harsh and unjust sentences seem to be part of a disturbing trend in Iran, where the cost of voicing peaceful dissent is escalating. In May, anti-death penalty activist Atena Daemi was sentenced to 7 years in prison, also on national security charges. She had posted critical remarks about executions and human rights violations online and had participated in gatherings outside prisons in solidarity with families of death row prisoners. Amnesty International and other human rights monitors consider both Atena Feragdoni and Atena Daemi prisoners of conscience held solely for the peaceful exercise of their right to freedom of expression. President Barack Obama has said strong, successful countries require strong and vibrant civil societies.
Human progress has been propelled not just by famous leaders, not just by states, but by ordinary men and women who believe that change is possible, by citizens who are willing to stand up against incredible odds and great danger, not only to protect their own rights, but to extend rights to others.
Around the world, fundamental freedoms are under threat, said President Obama. And when they are, when the space for civil society to operate becomes more restricted, the United States will work to open it up and speak out for those whose rights have been violated and whose voices have been silenced. The United States continues to call on the government of Iran to release all who have been unjustly imprisoned for the peaceful exercise of their fundamental rights and to live up to its own laws as well as its international obligations.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And finally, in sports news, Tennis Zimbabwe is hosting a three-week tournament featuring local and international players in Harare. Kif Nokwara of Tennis Zimbabwe tells Studio 7's Marvelous Langanya Wuye, participants are drawn from boys who are above the age of 13.
We have attracted players from as far as America, Russia, lots of European countries, lots of African countries. So it is for Zimbabwe and beyond. It's a worldwide tournament, open to any player who is 13 years and above, who is able to register with the International Tennis Federation.
And this is open to boys and girls?
Unfortunately, this event we are hosting this year is for boys or for men. We are hopeful that with the funding, we should be hosting for both the boys and girls in the near future.
And how much would you say one needs to actually kick off a career in tennis? Because for some other sports, it's actually the equipment that you need to play that's holding back a lot of players.
The course applies also to tennis. The coaching is expensive, racket equipment in the form of rackets and sneakers and general apparel is also a bit on the expensive side, particularly here in Zimbabwe, where we rely on importation for such equipment. So I would say for the year, if you're budgeting around 3,000 to 4,000 per kid, you can come up with a competitive player in Zimbabwe.
That was Cliff Nokwara of Tennis Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7, it's Marvelous Mklanganya Wuye from Harare. And now to recap today's top stories. ZANU-PF candidates who won in Zimbabwe's just-ended parliamentary by-elections say they are ready to fulfill their election promises. And some Zimbabweans without proper immigration documents in various countries resort to having marriages of convenience in order to avoid being deported. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.